Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedushin Daf Samach Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Samachay at the Mishnah. If you prefer, the fifth wide line of Daf Samachay, where we have a new Mishnah. Before we begin the actual text, we glance at the side in the margin where we have one of our special Gemara markings Shas Ozer features, the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads Dalid Mikrim, four cases, Shoish Voisha Makhishim Ze Eze Bemi Kidesh Esmi. A man versus a woman, each one contradicting the other as to who married whom. The Mishnah. Ha'oimer li'isha kidashtich. A man says to a woman, I married you. Vehi omeres lo kidashtani. And she says back, you didn't marry me. Hu osir b'krovoseha. Going on his word that he married her, so he becomes prohibited in her relatives. For example, if this woman has a sister, he will not be able to marry her because that is now achos ishto. The woman has a mother, he can't marry her. That would be his mother-in-law. Rashi points out, hu osu b'kroviseo deshavinu olei Chaticha disura b'hodasa, that through his statement, his confession, his revelation, he has made her relatives upon him. Chaticha disura means forbidden entities. And in contrast, where she denies, she can marry any of his relatives. As far as she is concerned, she's not married to this fellow. If she wants to, she can marry his brother. Another example, he oimeres kidashtani, v'hu omer lo kidashtich. Here, the woman says to the man, you married me. And he says, I never married you. Hu mutur b'krovosel, he is allowed to marry her relatives. V'hi asura b'krovov, by virtue of the fact that she's saying to the fellow, you married me, so this woman now cannot marry his brother, his father, etc. Another case, kidashtich. Man says to a woman, I married you. V'omeres lo kidashte lebiti. You didn't marry me, you married my daughter. Hu osur b'krovos gedola. He cannot marry the relatives of the mother of the woman who he spoke to. We're going to refer to her as the mother in contrast to her daughter. The word gedola is a word referring to the mother. So he cannot marry the relatives of the mother. Ugedola muteris bekrovov. That same woman, though, can marry his relatives. Hu mutur bekrovos kitana. He is allowed to marry the relatives of the daughter. Uktana muteres bekrovov. And the ktana, the daughter, is muteres in marrying his relatives. The only indication of her, of the daughter, being married was by virtue of the word of the mother. But a mother has no Torah rights in giving over her daughter into marriage. So it becomes irrelevant the daughter's suggested marriage here becomes an irrelevancy. Kidashti es bitech. A man says, I married your daughter. V'yomeres, the woman spoken to, says, Lo kidashte lo si. You didn't marry my daughter, you married me. Hu asur b'krovos ktana. He cannot marry the relatives of the daughter. Uktana muteres b'krovov. The daughter can marry his relatives. Hu muter b'krovos gedola. He is entitled to marry the relatives of the mother. Gedola asur b'krovov. But the mother, who had said to the gentleman, you didn't marry my daughter, you married me, so asura b'krovov, she cannot marry his relatives. This Mishnah has numerous cases that the ruling in each one seems to be very similar to the preceding one. So the Gemara will point out, why do I need to be taught each one of the cases? The Gemara. Ho'imer li'isha kidashtich v'chulei u'tzricha. Rashi, notice Rashi, first wide line under the Gemara text, the beginning of the Gemara commentary. U'tzricha, Rashi says, lashminun b'kulhu, to tell us in each one of the cases, the misha osar atzmo b'diburo ne'asar, that he who bound himself or herself in their speech becomes restricted in accordance with what they claimed. The one who did not bind themselves, restrict themselves, remains permitted. The Gemara. I need all of the cases. The Ashminan, Gabi, Gabe Dide. Had we taught the Mishnah regarding him, namely where he says, I married you to a woman, there the Mishnah tells us that he prohibits himself in her relatives, but she is not restricted in his relatives. So if we would have taught just that case, Mishum deGavro lo ichbasle umikri omar, a man doesn't feel any sense of, we'll say, restriction or limitation when he claims that he's that he married a particular woman. He might in fact not have married her, and he'll say it anyway, even if he didn't actually marry her. Rashi adds, Gabi didei ki omar ki dashtich lo mitzura ihi bekrovov. When he says to a woman, I married you, she, the woman, will not become prohibited in his relatives. Why? Mishum viyu shikuri mishakir. It's quite possible that the man's claim itself is false. The gavra luch basle moisir atzma bekrovisel chinom. And the man doesn't care so much if he's restricted himself in marrying her particular relatives. And Rashi says, "Umikri v'yomar ki dashtio v'afal gavdalo kitsha." Person will say, "I married you, even though he didn't." And why is that? Because the man has many options. If not this woman, he can marry another woman. He can marry several women. He doesn't have that much by way of restrictions, even though he may have, by his statement, prohibited himself in her relatives. The Gemara continues, Aval Ihi, when it comes to the woman saying to the man, I married you. Ema, there's room to think, Ilav dekim lo b'dibura, if she wasn't 100% certain of what she's saying to be the truth, lo havis omra, she wouldn't have spoken up, because when she says to a man, I was married by you, in other words, you married me, she is locking herself out of all other men in the world. And if she is in fact saying to a fellow, you married me, then she must be telling the truth. And if we say that, then go all the way, velitzar ihu bekrovoseha, And as a result of her certainty, we should then prohibit him in all of her relatives. Komashimlon, the Mishnah tells us, therefore, that he is not restricted in her relatives. The Gemara goes on. Now, you notice we have a numbering. This should make it easier to find in the Mishnah which section we are referring to. So here we have Roman number 2, Aleph. Kidashtich, man says to a woman, I married you. And her response is, V'omeres, and if you can see back in the Mishnah, what does she say? Lo kidashto elo biti. You didn't marry me, you married my daughter. The Mishnah went out and spelled out all of the results, but the results would seem to be very similar to what had been stated before. So, ha, su, lomali, what do I need this case for? Itzterich, salkadei techamino. Without the Mishnah, I would have thought, midoraisa, hemnei rachmon alav. The Torah gives believability to a father when he says that he married off his daughter. Midrabonon, himnua, ledida, and on a rabbinic level, believability is granted to the mother to say that she married her off. The titsar barta bedibura, and let the daughter in fact become prohibited to the man's relatives through the mother's declaration. Because in the Mishnah, we saw the woman, the mother, responding by saying, you didn't marry me, you married my daughter. That was the mother's response. So by the mother having a rabbinic level of believability regarding the marriage of her daughter, we should say that that would result in the daughter becoming restricted in the man's relatives. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah reveals to us that we don't say that. Kidashti es bitech. This is Roman numeral number 2, case Bays. Man says that I married your daughter. And the woman responded, you didn't marry my daughter, you married me. Well, hasu lomali, what does this case reveal that I couldn't have figured out from before? The Gemara says, really nothing. Aidi de tona ha, tona nami ha. Since we taught Roman numeral number 2a, where the man had claimed he married the mother, and the mother said, no, you married my daughter. Here we have, we'll say, the mirror case of that, where the man says, I married your daughter, and the woman responds, says, no, you married me. So since we taught Roman numeral number 2, case Aleph, so to give you the, we'll say, the mirror version of that, we teach case Beis. But not that there's any, we'll say, halachic revelation in that section. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, we have an osei topic heading, which reads, Dinim shel Rav Shmuel be'isha she'omro kidashtani ve'u makrish osa. We're going to see laws taught by Rav Shmuel concerning a woman that said, you married me, and he, the man, says, no, I did not. Number one, mevakshin mimenu v'lo kofin litein lo get. We'll see this idea that since she is the one that initiated the idea that he married her, the man denies it. So we request of him, we don't force him to give her a get, to free her. A second point, we'll see, v'im nosan me'atzmo, if without being requested to give her a get, but on his own he gave her a get, de megale shebe'emes kitcha, through that, he reveals that in truth he did marry her. Oh, once he reveals to us that he married her, then we force him to pay her the ksuba. The ksuba, of course, is the marriage guarantee, that the financial guarantee that a woman has upon entering marriage. Now the Gemara. Itmar, Rav Omar Kifin, Ushmul Omar Mavakshin. Rav says we force him to give a get, and Shmuel says we request of him. Now that's the very simple reading of the Gemara. Things are going to change though. Ahe, Rav and Shmuel are going on what section? Ilema, Aresha. Well, let's go back to the Resha. We're using our numbering system to its fullest extent. So we look at Roman numeral 1, case Aleph in the Mishnah, the very beginning of the Mishnah. Man says to a woman, I married you. And she says, no, you didn't marry me. And the ruling of the Mishnah is that she's free. She can even marry the man's brother. So if the comments of Rav and Shmuel are relevant to case 1 Aleph, they're not. Lav kifiniko velo mevakshiniko. There's no forcing and there's not even any requesting. The woman doesn't need a get. Ela asefa. Maybe before we go on, let's take a look at Rashi on the fourth wide line at the end of the line. Loy kifiniko. She doesn't require a get from him. The Mishnah said that she can marry his relatives. If you buy a get, imagine we would require her to receive from this guy a get. The woman could not then marry his brother. She would be considered the divorcee of the first fellow. And as such, his brother is called she to his brother is called Grushas Achiv, his brother's divorcee. That's a forbidden relationship. So the comments of Rav and Shmuel have no relevance to the Resha. As we said, as far as the Resha is concerned, there's no forcing of giving a get, and there isn't even any requesting of him to give a get. Ela asefa. Seifa is a reference to Roman numeral 1, case Bays in the Mishnah, where she said, you married me. And he said, I did not marry you. So she is, through her, we'll say, admission, she is saying she's married. So in the case of Roman numeral 1, Bays, Bishlama Mevakshin Lechayi. I understand that we can request of the husband, of the man that she claims that she had been married to, we could request of him to give a get. Ela, Kaifin Amai, why would you suggest forcing him to give a get? Omar, could he not claim Lo nicho li the itzar bekreva? I want all my options open. I don't want to be prohibited or restricted from being able to marry her relatives, her sister, for example. And if you're going to say that we force him to give a get, so her sister will be off limits. That would be considered achos grushasa, the sister of the one he divorced. So the Gemara goes on with a new surprise approach. Ela shmeitza adodi itmar. Rav and Shmuel, the names we underlined, they're not arguing with one another. Rather, the second opinion is actually adding to what the first one did not spell out. They're complementary. Omar Shmuel. mevakshin mimenu litain get. We request of him to give a get. We saw this idea before, where the woman says to the man, "You married me," and he says, "No." So she has restricted herself. She's made herself, through her own admission, married. He left all his options open. He said, "I didn't marry you." In a case like that, we turn to him and ask him, maybe you are willing to write a get and free her. So I understand the teaching of Shmuel that says mevakshin. Ela kaifin amai? Why would there be any forcing? Omar, the man, could say that lo nicholi the itza bekreva. I don't want to be prohibited to her sister, and if I have to give her a get, then that will prevent me from being able to marry her sister. Ela shmeitza adodi itmar. As we pointed out before, Rav and Shmuel are not arguing with one another. And we said, Omar Shmuel, mevakshin mimenu litein get. We request of him to give a get. Omar Rav, im nosan get me'atzmo, if without being requested, he on his own voluntarily gave her a get, to the woman that claimed that you married me. If that happens, where the man gives a get to her without being requested, that reveals that he really did marry her. And as a result, kaifen oisai litain suba. Here you see how we weave in the kofen word to the story. We force him to pay her the ksuba. An arusa, by entering the state of erus in the first stage, leading eventually toward the consummation of a marriage, at that early stage, a ksuba obligation sets in. Itmar nami, Omar Rav Acha bar Ado Marav, the Amri law, another version by way of names, Omar Rav Acha bar Ado, Omar Rav Hamnuna Omarav. Here we're adding Rav Hamnuna to the chain of names, that's why we've dashed underlined his name. Kaifen umevakshin. Tarti. Well, two things that are essentially contradictory. Either you force or you request. How can you say kaifen umevakshin? Hochi ka'omar. So the proper understanding of Rav is mevakshin mimenu liten get. If a woman says to a man, "You married me," she's thereby restricting herself. So we request of the man, maybe you would be willing to give her a get. If he does give her the get, he's restricting himself from her relatives. Ve'im nosan me'atzmo, if without being requested he gave a get on his own to her, kaifen oisai litein ksuba. We then will force him to pay the ksuba. Before we continue, first we note the slash mark, which indicates that which follows is a new trend of thought. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, clearly a general topic heading, Edus b'kiddushin u'befrat, and specifically when speaking about the topic of testimony, ne'emonus eid echad. We want to know we want to deal with the believability of a single witness. Throughout Jewish law, we expect, you'll see in most cases, two witnesses, that less than two witnesses, so we don't have sufficient testimony. There are cases where eid echad functions, and we're going to look at the role or the power of an eid echad, a singular witness, in the context of marriage. There's an immediate topic heading which reads HaMekadesh be'eid echad eino mekudeshes ma hadin im shnei emoidim. We are going to be taught that one who marries a woman in the presence of a singular witness, the marriage does not does not take place, doesn't take off. What would the din be if the man and woman agree with the testimony of the single witness that says that they were married? The Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, I should have pointed out, maybe we have some markings to pick up on, to deal with, to explain, that will appear right now. You have the trapezoid, and there's going to be a bow tie shape. Under the Mivneh heading, we say that the volcano shape, the trapezoid, Havlotas HaMekadesh Beit Echad. Here we're trying to highlight the expression of one who marries a woman in the presence of only one witness. The bow tie will have value for later in the Gemara, where we are highlighting Shitois Doimos, similar opinions. Shortly, we'll encounter a triangle, so we'll introduce it when we get to it. The Gemara. Omar of Yehuda, HaMekadesh Beit Echad, Ein Choshishin L'Kiddushin. One who marries in the presence of one witness, there is no Kiddushin that is regarded. You don't even consider them being married. Bo Mine Mirav Yehuda. The people asked a question of Rav Yehuda, Shnehem Moidim Mai. Let us say the man and the woman agree with the single witness. They're moided to what the witness says. You have one witness saying, I saw Mr. A marry Mrs. A. So without Shnehem Moidim, Rav Yehuda says that we're not going to consider any marriage here. There's nothing took place as far as we're concerned. But if you have the couple agreeing with the singular witness, what would the din be? That was the question posed to Rav Yehuda. In Valal Varafya Biodei. Sometimes he said yes, sometimes he says no, and it's a topic that's not, hasn't been solidified in Rav Yehuda's mind. Itmar, Omar Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel, HaMekadesh Beit Echad, Ein Choshishin L'Kiddushav. You can see we call this bays. We have a little bays that's encircled to contrast this with the aleph that we saw just before that did not have an answer to Shneim Moidim. Here we have a definitive answer or different definitive approach. We're not choshish for the words of Ein Echad, even if both admit that they were married to one another. Eisvei Rava the Rav Nachman. Ha'imer li'isha kidashtich, and I should have pointed out the triangle under the Mivneh heading says Havlotas HaMekadesh Beit Echad. I must correct. The triangle says on the, we say on this in the margin, we see it. We'll be raising questions on that particular stance that one who marries in the presence of one witness, we're not choshesh, we don't even consider the marriage. And now, questions on that. You'll notice if you're keeping track of the numbering that we have a couple of long markings indicating. The triangle with the long marking indicates a long question. Of number one, followed by another question lasting a couple lines, number two. That will then be followed by a long answer. And you can see we have such a marking that takes you down the first five lines of Omid Beis. Eisvei Rova l'Rav Nachman. Ha'oimer li'isha kidashtich. V'hi omeres lo kidashtani. As we saw in the Mishnah, a man says to a woman, I married you, and she responds, you didn't marry me. Hu asur b'krov yisel, v'hi muteres b'krovav. He is forbidden to her relatives. She is allowed to his. I di'ika edim, if there are witnesses, that a marriage took place, Amai Muteres Bekrovov, why would she be allowed to marry his relatives, his brother? V'i Deleko Edim, if there are no witnesses, Amai Osir Bekrovo Seha, why should he be prohibited in marrying her relatives? Elo Lav B'Eid Echad. It must be that our Mishnah is recognizing the presence of one witness, and from the fact that he is prohibited in marrying her relatives, it shows that a kiddushin must have taken hold. This is contrary to what Shmuel had taught, that a kiddushin with the presence of one witness, there's no kiddushin. Here you see one witness, and it had the effect prohibiting him from marrying her relatives. So there must have been some level of tfisas kiddushin. The Gemara rejects this. Chocha b'mayaskinon. The Mishnah is talking about kigon to Omar lo kidashtich b'fnei ploni uploni v'holchu lohem l'miyasayam. According to the words of the husband, there were two witnesses, and that means there was a full-fledged kiddushin, and they are not here. They went abroad. Esvei. A man divorced his wife, and after the divorce, he spent the night with her at an inn. Beishamai says there's no need for a second get. They spent the night together. That indicates to us that they remarried, and a second get is necessary. Hey Chidomi, what are the circumstances? If there are witnesses, then why would Beis Shammai say there's no need for a second get? If there are no witnesses, why would Beis Hillel say that there's a need for a second get? Rather, it must be that there was a singular witness. And as we mentioned before, here you have another source. Here you have a source that would run contrary to what Shmuel taught. Shmuel said, "Mekadish Beit Echad, we're not choshesh for the kiddushin." Here you have one witness, and Beis Hillel saying that that's enough to generate the need for a second get. In other words, that there is a kiddushin. Uletame chemosay. For now, the Gemara response. Say the continuation of the Mishnah, of the source that was just quoted. Umoidim, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai agree with one another. Benisgarsha, Mino Erusin. That couple that had divorced and spent a night at the inn, if their original marriage had been only to the Erusin level, they never consummated their marriage, and at that point he divorced her, and then they were together a night at the inn. There's agreement, Shein Tzricha Heimenu Get Sheini, Mipnei Shein Liboy Gas Ba. There's no need for a second get because he didn't reach in his initial relationship with her a deep sense of affinity and adoration that would create enough closeness that they would have had intimacy for the purpose of marriage during the night that they spent at that inn. If you are claiming, like if you think that one witness is believed, then Mali Mino Erusin, Mali Mino Anhisuin. What difference would it make what their original level of marriage had been? Whether it was the partial level, namely the pre-consummated level we call Erusin, or they had consummated their marriage, which we call Nisuin, and yet a distinction is made in the source. So it would indicate to us that we're not dealing with a single witness that could testify about a remarriage. Elo hocha b'mayaskinon. So then, what is the source talking about? The source which opened with the expression "Megarshes ishta v'lonim abepundaki." What is it talking about? Kigon deika eide yichud v'leka eide bia. You have two witnesses that saw them, the couple, go into private, but you don't have two witnesses that saw them engage in an actual act of intimacy. Beis Shammai Savri, Beis Shammai, who said that there was no need for a second get, hold, loy amrinon, we continuing at the top of Omid Beis, that we do not say, hein, hein, eidei yichud, hein, hein, eidei bia. Once again, we do not say that the witnesses that can testify about their going into private are equal to witnesses that would have seen an actual act of intimacy. Beis Hillel Savri, Beis Hillel, who says we do require a second get, they hold amrinon, we say hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia. Those witnesses that saw them go into private are as if they saw the actual act of intimacy. In other words, you can rest assured that if they had been a married couple beforehand and they go into this inn, even though he had already divorced her, he probably remarried her. And the witnesses that were standing outside, even though they did not see an act of intimacy, they are as good as. Umoidim vadai benizgarsha min ha'erisin, Beis Hillel will concede to Beis Shammai, certainly if the original gerushin was from their state of erusin, they had not ever consummated their marriage. The lo amrinon, Beis Hillel will say that we do not apply the principle of hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia. Why not? Mipnei she'en libo gaspa. He had not reached that intense level of intimacy and conviviality that a couple who reached nisuin before their divorce. And as a result, even though they went into private, we will not assume that he had conducted an act of intimacy with her for the purpose of remarrying her. Because, as we said, the gerushin was only from erusin. They had never been that intimate with one another to begin with. The second bow tie, which we mentioned before, is to be compared to the first bow tie. In other words, a similar psak, a similar ruling. Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei the Rav Hamikadish Beit Echot Ein Choishishin LeKidushim VeAfilu Shneim Oidim. We're not going to even suspect a kedushin, even where both the man and the woman admitted or agreed that they had remarried, that they had married. Omar Rabo Bar Rav Huna Hamakadish Beit Echod Be Dino Rabo Amri. Be Dino Rabo, you can see this in singular quotation marks. Be Dino Rabo says Ein Chishishin Le Kiddushav. Once again, the marriage in the presence of a singular witness does not accomplish any level of marriage. Man Be Dino Rabo. As we saw, Rabo Bar Rav Huna made reference to the Be Dino Rabo. Who is that? Answer, Rav. Be Dino Rabo, the great basin, was really an honorable way of referring to the great Amora Rav. So that Rabo Bar Rav Huna is in effect quoting the sheet of Rav that says, Ein Chishishin Likidushav. Iko Di Amri. another version by way of names. Omar Rabo Baravuna, Omar Rav. Hamakadish Be'ed Echod. Be'edino Rabo Amri. Ein Chushishin Likidushav. So here we have, in the names that are presented, we have Rav quoting the Be'edino Rabo, who says, Ein Chushishin Likidushav. Man Be'edino Rabo. When Rav uses that expression, who is he referring to? Rebbe. He's referring to Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi by the term Beit Dino Rabba. You'll notice we have a long question. Mosiv Rav Achtavuye Barhami. Shnayim Shebo Midas Hayam V'Isha Imoem V'Chavila Imoem. Two gentlemen and a third party, a woman, came from abroad and they had a Chavila, a bundle with them, with the contents. Zeh Omer, and each one of the people, they have a total of three people here, each one forwards a certain claim. Zeh Omer, Zeh Ishti, Vezeh Avdi, Vezeh Chavilasi. Mr. One claims, the woman that's here, that's my wife. And the other fellow that's here, that's my slave. And this is my package. My baggage. That's the chavila. Vizeh Omer. The second man says, just the same. Zu ishti, vizeh avdi, vizu chavilasi. The isha omeres, the woman, the third party that was a woman, she says, elu shnei avodai, v'chavila sheli. These are my two slaves, and the package, the bundle is mine. That having been said, the source goes on with its conclusion. Tzricha shnei gitin v'gevig subasa mina chavila. This woman requires a get from the two gentlemen, and she will be able to collect her ksuba from that chavila. Heichi domi. What are the circumstances behind this source? It is lay sadi lahai, is lay sadi lahai. If there are two witnesses for this man that substantiate his claim, and two witnesses for the other man, if that were the case, then mi motzi omra elu shnei avodai v'chavila shili. How could the woman say these are my two slaves and the package is mine? After the high court no reference to the high court, but rather the two witnesses. If each one had witnesses, how in the world could she claim that these two gentlemen are her slaves? Elo lav be'ed echad. Rather, it must be that there is one witness, and you see that one witness is believed to establish some level of actual marriage. The Tisbara. And here the Gemara rejects what we said. You'll notice we have a long rejection marking, a long dechia. Eid echod b'hakosha, mi mehamon. What we have here is one witness saying that the man married this woman. On the other hand, though, the woman herself is contradicting the witness. Since when do we accept one witness when he is testifying in the face of a denial contestant on the other side? In this case, the woman is contesting what the aide is saying. Ella, lemishri liyama dukliyama lo pligi deshori. As far as the woman being muteris to marry anyone she wants, no question about it. There's no disagreement. She's allowed to. V'hocha hachi ko'amar. And the source that made reference to her needing a get is it's as follows. Sricho shnei gitin kidei ligvois ksubosa min hachavila. She would need two divorce documents that they, the two men, would have given to her on their own, which would then entitle, that would be considered, if they're giving it to her on their own, it must be that she was really married. And in order for her to collect her ksuba, she would need to have the divorce documents, the gittin. And so let's read that line again. V'hocha hochi komar, tzricho shnei gittin, kidei ligvois ksubosa min achavila. The reference that the source made to the requirement of the need for two gittin was in order for her to be able to collect from that package. V'rebi meir hi, and the source is in accordance with Rebbe Meir Diomar, metatali mishtabdi l'ksuba, that even portables can be sought for payment toward her ksuba. Generally speaking, we know that land, that real estate, is the basis, the source, the guarantee for collection. Rabbi Meir goes further and says that even portables are bound toward her ksuba. My havi Allah. Here now, the Gemara wants to know, so what's the story with a kiddushin and one witness is present? Rav Kahana Omar Ein Choshishin LeKiddushav. You don't consider any kiddushin as having taken place. Rav Papa Omar Choshishin LeKiddushav. We do consider it a marriage. Omar Le Rav Ashi Le Rav Kahana. My Daitoch. Rav Ashi poses a question to Rav Kahana and says, What's your basis for saying ein choshishin? De yalfis, that you have a limud of a gzera shava dover mi mamon. Namely, just like by mamon, the pasuk says al pishnayim edim or al pishloish edim yakum dover. And in monetary and financial controversies between people, you need to have two witnesses, as the pasuk spells it out. Through the word comparison to matters of immorality, the pasuk says ki mosa ba'ervas dovar. There we conclude that you need to have two witnesses, even for matters of that are marriage related matters, morality related matters. You need to have two witnesses. Well, is that your basis for saying that ein choshishin likidushav when you have only one witness? Well, then ima lahalon. If just then, are you going to say that just like in the case of monetary matters, hodoas baldin kameya edim domi, the confession, the admission of the litigant saying that I really do owe the money or I really am guilty has the power of 100 witnesses. Afkan, are you going to say the same thing here? Hoidoas baldin kemea edim dummy. The result would be then that just like in the case of monetary matters where the litigant comes forth and says, I really do owe the money, so that binds him, he'll have to pay the money. So too, when one of them says, I am married to you, that is going to be as if it has the strength of 100 witnesses. Omar Lay. So Rav Kahana responded and said, no. Hasam lo kochayev lachrini. Where a person comes forward on his own and he says, he confesses the debt that he owes. He's not hurting anyone else. He's not restricting anyone else when he says that. He's binding himself to pay up the money. He's not lo kochayev lachrini. He's not causing an achrini to be chayev, to be bound or obligated. Hacha, in the case of marriage, when someone comes forward and says, yes, I did marry her, then ko chayav lachrini. That statement, if you accept it, hurts, it restricts others. In this case, her relatives would then become usur. Marzutra v'Rav Ato Sava b'nei Rav Mori bar Iser. You have the sons of Rav Mori, Polig Nichsayu b'Hadi Hadadi. They as we said, they were both the sons of Rav Mori. They were brothers, and they divided their estate, their property. They divided it. Bahadi Adai means they together, they both divided their estate. Also, Kamei de Ravashi. They came before Ravashi. Omru Lei. They asked Ravashi, and notice the question lasts four couple of lines. They presented the following dilemma or doubt. The Pasuk says, Al Pishnei Edim, Omar Rahmona, that matters of finance are established with two witnesses. The boy Lumahadu Lomotsi Hajri Bahu. The purpose of the two witnesses is to prevent someone from backing out of whatever his claim was, whatever he had stated. The two that split up the estate, Marzutra and Ravada, add and say, Vanan lo hatri, we are not going to back out. In other words, once the properties are divided between the two of us, we're not going to deny that the division ever took place or back out. If that be the case, if you're telling me then that the whole reason for the two witnesses was to prevent back out or denial of a financial transaction of ever having taken place, so they say, don't worry, we are not going to Hadri, we're not going to back out. Therefore, we would not need the two witnesses to have overseen or witnessed our division. Oy dilma lo mekayma milsela basadi, or it could be that in order to establish something has happened, taken place, you have to have two witnesses. Edim lekiyum hadavar. Without them, then whatever matter was being debated or whatever conclusions are reached, it would be nothing if you don't have two witnesses. And that, according to this approach, the Bayes approach, the two witnesses are the element that makes whatever decision is made a true decision. Omar Lahu, so the Ravashi, to whom the question was presented, says to them, Lo Ivru Sadi Elo L'Shakri. Literally, witnesses were not created other than to prevent people from lying. And since you're saying that you're never going to deny this division of property, then you wouldn't need to have the witnesses for the decision to be a legally binding property division. There's a Rashi, when the Gemara said, Lo Ivru Sadi Elo L'Shakri, Rashi says, HaKoifrim B'dvorim Lomar Lo Kein Hu. Those who deny things and say, no, it was not like that. And so that two witnesses will be able to prevent that from happening. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.